Genesis chapter 22. And the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering, thank you, sir, upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of God, of which God had told him. Yeah. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. See, while they was going up that side, the ram was coming up on the other side.
Amen.
So they went up both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me.
Right.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh.
Yes.
And that means God will provide. Amen. As it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and it's not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies, of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. We'll stop reading there. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Lord, we love you this evening, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. We pray as we have opened your word that you'll help us now for a few moments of time. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, the power of God. I pray it anoint us, Lord, and touch us and help us to be a help and a blessing. And we're going to love you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to title these messages, The Lord Let Me, Abraham's Crisis. Abraham's Crisis. It was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that said he'd never seen a man made by a crisis. The crisis only reveals what a man already was. And so we know this passage in the time in Isaac's life is a marvelous type of the great sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. We know this chapter, along with Exodus chapter number 12, gives the most and the greatest detailed pictures of the gospel in all the Old Testament. We know this experience focuses on the faith and obedience of Isaac's father, but Isaac himself was a great hero in this story as well.
Right.
If we think about Isaac's willingness to be bound and placed on the altar when he was old enough to easily resist his father.
Yes.
Abraham makes his submission so great, but it's often overlooked because of the greatness of the faith of the father Abraham. But
right.
Isaac's submission was something amazing to me when you really think about that. Number one, when you let's notice the proving of his direction. Verse number one says, It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and offer him thou for a burnt offering upon the mountain which I will tell thee of. The proving of this direction. This was a tremendous test for Abraham. A test to prove the faith of Abraham. We know the word tempt here is used in this text is to be understood as a test. It gives us a more accurate action by God concerning Abraham. When we're only thinking of temptation or tempt, we think of it as a solicitation to evil. But we know God does not do that to us. God does not tempt us. If you're being tempted, you brought it on yourself. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
That's right.
And so God don't tempt us. The difference between temptation and testing is very, very great.
Yes.
Temptation is to pollute us and weaken us, whereas testing is to purify and strengthen us.
Amen.
Temptation offers immediate pleasure and gain. Testing offers immediate pain and loss. Temptation seems reasonable to the flesh and appeals to the flesh, and testing does neither. Warren Wiersbe of the B series, he wrote, he said in the school of faith, we must have occasional testing or we will never know where we are spiritually. And so when you are having testings in your life, it's just allowing you to see where you are spiritually at that moment.
Right.
And this of what testings and trials do for us, they let us see where we are at with God, our strength, our faith, our wills, our attitudes toward the Lord.
Amen.
Without hesitation, we can say this would be the most severe test Abraham would ever have. The test with Isaac has been called the grand crisis of Abraham's life. But this also can be looked at as a compliment for Abraham, for God does not test one so severe who has not grown greatly in the faith. So the toughest tests are given to the strongest saints.
Amen.
When compared with this test, many of our tests are nowhere as severe as this one is or will be. So there's no need for you to be discouraged in the thinking you're a failure if you face a difficult test. It might be on the contrary that you have greatly succeeded in your spiritual growth.
Amen.
And so we not only notice the proving of this direction, but we notice the person of this direction. It was God that said to do this.
Amen.
There's no confusion here. There's no mistake here. God had not made a mistake here. The extreme clarity of God's command is given for this highly unusual deed. God will not ask us to do anything highly unusual without a much assurance He is asking us to do this thing.
Amen.
There'll be things in your life that you need complete assurance for from God that what you're doing is the will of God.
Right.
If you'll notice in our text in this chapter here, we'll notice the little phrase, thine only son. It's actually mentioned three times. Verse number 2, he said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Verse number 12, he said, God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine only son from me. And then down in verse number 16, and hast not withheld thine only son. Three times we see the word only here. This first only in verse number 2 reveals thus the magnitude of this sacrifice. This would be, there would be no son left for Abraham to have.
Right.
So Abraham is asked to give us all. Think about our sacrifice. After all that we sacrifice, what's left is determined the size of our cost of our sacrifice.
Right.
And sometimes when I think I have done such a great thing of making this sacrifice, I look back and see what I've got left, and I've not given very little. The sad reality is we're seeing in our day that there are not too many are willing to make much of any kind of sacrifice in order to obey God.
Amen.
The second only in verse number 12 addresses the matter of statistics. It shows us how God counts.
Yeah.
While Abraham actually did have another son, Ishmael, he did not count in God's eyes.
That's right.
Someone said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Yes.
So the third only in verse number 16 is the mark of the Savior. Isaac was the only son. And of course we know that Jesus Christ was God's only son. Both sons are actually called the only begotten son.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son.
Yes.
We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so it was the mark of a Savior. God paid a tremendous price for our salvation. And the question has been asked, how do I reciprocate in my sacrifice to serve him? What am I giving back to God? God has given me so much. Oh, his blessings as they've sung tonight are overwhelming. But what do I give God back?
That's right.
What am I giving God back?
Yes, yes.
I believe it was the psalmist David in one of the Psalms. He said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What am I giving back? How am I showing God my appreciation for all these blessings that he's blessed me with? Amen. Oh, I tell you, I get a conviction real quick about that stuff now. I tell you, when I see all God does for me on a weekly basis, a daily basis, an hour basis, I tell you, I am overwhelmed. I am amazed at the blessings of God. But what am I giving back?
Yes, sir.
Well, I need to step up the game. Amen. That's right. So there's not the only son, but he was the love son. Verse 2 says, whom thou lovest. God is showing us the heart in Abraham's duty here. Abraham is being tested to see if he loved God more than he loved Isaac.
That's right. Exactly.
You got to be careful with your children loving them more than you love God. I know some parents do that.
Sure.
You should never do that. You shouldn't ever love your children more than you love God. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. I love my children, but I love Jesus more.
Sure.
Matter of fact, we talked about this evening in our little counseling session we had. I love my wife, but I love Jesus more than I love my wife.
Amen.
That's right. That's just the way it's supposed to be. God's supposed to be number one, ain't he?
Right.
That's right. Yeah, don't make your children little idols.
Amen.
Don't do that. No, sir. No, we love them. Praise God. We adore them. Praise God. I'm not going to worship them.
Amen.
They're not to be worshiped. Amen.
Amen.
But we love them. And we thank God for the little blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I love them. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. But I love God more.
Amen.
So what a great test of heart, of a heart's affection this was for Abraham. This shows us that the heart must be examined to determine the character of our sacrifice. God's plea to man in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let mine eyes observe my ways. Oh, if we could only see this is the main thing God wants from us. If and when he truly had our hearts, he will have everything else about us. Amen.
That's right.
God wants my heart. He wants me. Amen. I read these verses a moment ago in our session. Jesus said, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind.
Uh-huh.
I'm to love God more than anything. He is to be number one on the list. Amen.
Amen.
And so we not only we don't see the person of this direction. It was God that's telling him to do this. We see the priority of this direction.
Yeah.
Verse number 2, he said, take now thy son and offer him. This was to be done now, not later.
Right. That's right.
God said, I want you to do it now.
Amen.
Abraham's little world was brought to a stop in order for him to be obedient to God's command. Sometimes God wants you to stop and do something right then. Amen.
Amen.
And it's the best thing to do is to obey him. Amen.
Amen.
Then we see the preparation for this direction.
Right.
The now of this direction emphasizes the priority, but also puts emphasis on the need to be ready spiritually at all times.
Yes.
At any event in life.
Amen.
In other words, we need to be right with God 24/7. Amen.
Right.
Need to be right with God.
Amen.
I have to be right with God. I try to be right with God constantly.
Yes.
You say, why, preach? Because I never know, Brother Joe, when somebody's going to call the old preacher and say, preacher, we got to pray. Well, I don't want to spend an hour getting right with God because I'm not right with God. I need to pray.
Amen.
Amen. You got to keep your sins confessed and keep short sin accounts and stay right with God. We never know what's going to happen. Many things can happen quickly without warning. And it's hard to play catch up if you're falling behind.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Our spiritual lives need to be kept in check and be ready for anything. Spiritual dues always need to be paid up, amen. It's not good to be caught off guard spiritually, not be prepared for battle. And the enemy's always wanting to give us a surprise attack. When we fail, when we fall into temptation or testing, if not, it's not without reason. It's usually because we've neglected our spiritual health. And so there's a preparation for this direction. He didn't hesitate 1 minute to do this.
Amen.
He's ready for it, man. Amen. He's walking with God, being obedient to God, living a life of faith. I don't see no hesitation at all. He rose up early in the morning, saw his eyes, and took off. Amen.
Amen.
We see the place of that direction in verse 2. He said he's gone and he's going up the place which God had told him. This place, of course, would be later known as Jerusalem. It would be a 3 days journey from where he's at. The name Moriah is found only one other time in Scripture. It's called Mount Moriah.
Right.
2 Chronicles 3:1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite.
Amen.
So this has an obvious relationship with Calvary and Christ, for this is the place where Christ was crucified.
Amen.
Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. I have no difficulty tonight believing that the crucifixion of Christ was not only in the general area, but also right in the very place where Abraham offered Isaac.
That's right.
This was no doubt the very spot that God had pointed out to him.
Amen.
So we notice not only that, but we notice the progress of this direction. The Lord didn't tell Abraham everything just yet. If you'll notice the words, which I will tell thee of.
That's right.
In verse 2,
yes.
He said, which I will tell thee of.
Yes.
So what's this saying to us? The lesson here is that we learn the will of God as we do the will of God.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't know the will of God for my life. Well, do what you know to do right now.
That's it.
You can't go no further unless you do what you know now.
Amen.
I want to know the will of God for my life, preacher. I want to know what God wants. Well, what do you know to do now? Get to doing it.
Right.
Do the will of God now. What you know, do it. Amen. And listen, that is it. And then the Lord usually, he doesn't show us everything at one time in life.
Amen.
I'm sort of glad of that. Amen.
Right.
Living for God is progressive. Obedience is important to know the will of God. You must be willing to do what you know to do before you go any further.
That's right.
How many times have I heard Brother Melton on the mountain up there say, go on the light God gives you until he gives you more.
Amen.
God gives you light, a little light here, go with it.
Amen.
God gives you more light, go with it. God don't show you everything at one time. He leads you along the way. It's a progressive thing. We learn and we grow as we follow God and obey to God. All this grows and helps us, amen. I would say victory was won at Calvary.
Amen.
Our victory was secured at the tomb. Our victory will be completed at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so praise God, the will of God, you learn the will of God as you do the will of God. You learn the will of God as you do the will of God. Amen is what I'm saying. Amen. So this was a big crisis in his life.
Yes,